service of our Lord and to recognize your Son, Jesus Christ, in you. The way that he is dead and calm, with a home for him, for the healing of your body, salvation of your soul, for joy and happiness. I believe it's written in the scripture, one of the writers of it, above all things, I would that you prosper and help. And I pray that God will let every sick person in here tonight be well. I'm sure it's the will of God that all of you would be well. He wants you to be well. If you and I can only have faith, if we just sometimes wonder what that great article of faith. What is it? You know, tonight the Bible, I say this with the reverence and heart. Hearing me, if I would say something wrong, I find that about 80% of the people that say they believe just have hope instead of faith. Faith is just so sure, it's positive, it never moves, it's just got to be. Faith is an element. It's a sense. It's the sixth sense of the human body. It's the one sense the human soul has two senses. Well, other than that, it's five senses control the human body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. And the inward man has two senses. That's faith and belief. One of them governs. We come to a place to life. I'm wondering seriously about this. That if we really, if we're not playing the borderline, you folks, don't you think so? Borderline Christians? Do you believe in this stuff? There he is. They're afraid to walk out into the deep. Borderline. Just as long as you can walk. Recently, when coming from Africa, while I was down there, I had a time. Now I'll tell you. But the Lord told me to go a certain place and do a certain thing. And the management of the itinerary, they had set with all the other contrary, and the man didn't understand. They just wouldn't let me do it. I said, all right. Look for the supper, so I went to pray again, gave me information, and told me I'd suffer over. I did. The whole party did. I suffered worse. Was a parasite. And we found out later, we went down, what the Lord told us to do, there's probably been 200,000 souls saved from the meeting, more and more. But you're Jackson, which is here at the meeting somewhere, in South Africa, knows all about it. When I tore off all of the trees, stood before the ministerial international group, and said, thus saith the Lord, if we shall not go that way, if we do, we'll suffer. Now, when I go that way, we should go from here to Johannesburg, straight to Durban. They couldn't understand it, of course. But I went in after I received the detail of it. Won't take for just a moment, if you may. 10-15 minutes. When we landed at Johannesburg, I didn't know very much about South Africa. My wife said, well, probably you had to laugh at this. And I told her, I said, you're right, honey. Johannesburg, Southern Rhodesia. Johannesburg, beg your pardon, Durban, Southern Rhodesia. Durban's not in Rhodesia. If you like Latin, the Zion, Canada. It's another nation. Rhodesia is another nation. South Africa, where Durban is. But I don't know, the Lord sent me to Durban because that's where his Florence Nightingale was healed. She went back and I promised the Lord that I would go if that's where I thought I was going. When I got over to Johannesburg, Brother Baxter had to wait for me there, and he said, here's where we have to meet. About 20,000 people more than out around the place there, and about 20 to 30 miles out of town where he takes me, where the meeting was being held. The first time I was so worn in the air for 3 days. When I come down, I was tired, warm, no sleep. You know, I had some bouncy planes over the sea and so forth. Thank you, sir. So then when I got down there, well, I just walked to the meeting and just got in, and there were tens of thousands of people gathering in there everywhere. We waited 3 days, one all gathered out. as the sinners have got in, I saw this Jesus break before me. And there come a boy with one leg, about 6 inches shorter than the other. I see these men come down on him. I look around and see where the boy was and see him sitting. We had that time to get up old prayer for him. We couldn't call a prayer like mine, not measuring the balance. I said, young man, Jesus signs with you as you come over here to deserve him. He's made you well, stand up on your feet. There, his leg was perfectly normal. The headlines in the paper, the boy, the reporter, once measured his leg, seen him testify with father and mother. There it was. The next day, then, his little lady ran in a car. I said, I see an automobile wandering this way. The correction is the young lady gets her back broke. I said, your slave here, your back broke in 3 places. She said, that's right. She said, will I ever get up? I don't know. I said, there just a moment, look. I see her going, waving her hands and talking to her friends and back forth. I said, stand up, Jesus Christ, to see you. And mother said, no, 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 you can't stand up. You should die. Remember, better be careful. The broken back, one move and that's all. Remember, a truth, a state truth can't move you on an hour if you got a broken back. That's right. You have to lay there. The doctor said. Now, but they... And a woman that went there with her back broken 3 places and hadn't moved for months, just laying like that. I said, Jesus will heal you. And she raised up on her feet and screamed, began jumping up and down and raising God. And another thing isn't that the same bed that her daughter was laying on. So that started. And then, well, we had a medical affair there that the medical association had an awful time in. Well, I give them my analysis of that. What was and what was what I thought was true. So many times it's slung shut behind the door to me, but that's when it stops God's word from being true. So I laid it up, and the next morning early, the medical association called up and wanted me to have breakfast with them. And they gave me the round of the fellowship and said, that's true divine healing. And when you open our hospital to anything you want, on your hands. Thank you, sir. So you've already done some more far as down the head with this year, come over here and take the gear. I said, thank you, sir. I will try to do all that the Lord will permit me to do. Said, Reverend Branham, we believe in divine healing like that. And that way, that's true. And I said, thank you, sir. So then the next day, the Dusty Farm paper, which was, oh my, the Dusty Farm church. I'm nothing against you, Dusty Farm people here. But that's a state church, man. They're really hardly against the divine healing. And so, but your paper was carrying articles of it, everything, front pages, one, 2 pages of it. And the next day, there was one Dusty Farm minister who was farming. No one said I was a spiritual, a devil, under the disguise as a Christian, and imposing myself as a Christian man, working with a spirit of the devil, the reason I would know those things. Well, it kind of stirred his buddy, so he went to see me. And he said, you're wrong, because this was the day of our visitation. The other fellow said, the one with the vision said, that man is of the devil. And he was, this other said, I'm going out and pray for your lost soul. So he just turned around and walked down the yard to his little peach tree. And he held on to the peach tree and said, oh God, I said that there were words the man had said. But I believe it's the truth. I know no one could do this except it would be by you. And I believe it, and my friend in there is going to be lost. And said, it's the day of our visitation, and have mercy on him. And he said about that time, before he'd ever heard about it, here come that LFI moving down through that bush. And said, the LFI opened up, and the angel of God stood there, and walked in and laid his hand on his shoulder. Said, return to hell. And he jumped up real quick. He runs to the door all excited and said, the angel of the Lord met me right there and said, come tell you, they can't tell anybody about it. They put his hand on my back and said, this almost burnt come through me. He said, I tell you, just going on like that. And this just before minister had put around, and there was a scorched place, the signs of a man's hand laying right across his white shirt. Well, I called her, I got the shirt. There it was the next day in the paper, headline, this Dusty Farm Minister, God, who got out of that, look at the man's back, and they took my hand and put it on the man's back, and it's exactly fit the fingers right around exactly of the left hand, where it used to be. Well, we had the favor of everything, man. Then Mr. Baxter, my beloved brother, comes to tell me that the man, we got an itinerary. We got the way down to Clark Clarksville, Susan Payne, all the way down through that way and back up, and then over to Durban. So it doesn't matter to me, we're over here for so long. Doesn't matter. All right. That night when we went in, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the angel of the Lord came to me and said, tomorrow you're going to be down in the city and you're going to see an honored lady stand by the side of a place dressed in purple, calling to human attention. And tomorrow morning, while you're sitting at the table, when you get up, tell the church something happened. And said, then you tell your man, Mr. Baxter, that he's going to point out to you a very odd looking bird. See? And he said, you're going to try to take you up here to a doctor that's got cancer, and he thinks cancer on his hip, but that it is not cancer. The doctor just made a mistake and cut something loose there, and a man's going to die. And on your road up, said, you'll see a native beach sailor. There's lots of stuff along the road, but tomorrow there'll only be one. And you all will turn in front of that native beach sailor. They went and said, you'll know her. Said, she's a young girl, about 14 years old. She's got a big skin plate way back in the scalp like that. And said, by that, you shall not take, you know, you shall not go down there with that man. You stay right here for 2 weeks. You go up to Mr. Jackson's farm as you were going up there hunting, and then go to Durban. And stay to Durban till I call you. Next morning, I got up, received it all over. Mr. Baxter, right there listening at me now. Mr. Jackson, if you're sitting close, are you here, Brother Jackson, where you're at? You ought to raise your hand so I'll know. I didn't think, oh, he's here, certainly, right up here and all that. That's right, Brother Jackson from South Africa. Right there on the scene, what's going on? The next day, sitting at the table, the Lord spoke to me and told me about Willa Fondra, his little girl, about what was wrong with her tonsils and what had taken place and so forth. Mr. Stuman, first, he didn't kind of understand too well. He just dropped his card. He knew that no one knew that except right there in their own family. And there the Holy Spirit was revealing all about his family and what they'd done and all along like that. Brother Baxter sitting at the table, listening. And I said, now, we shall not take this itinerary down this way. The Lord told me to stay here for 2 more weeks and then go over to Mr. Jackson's farm and go hunting with him for rest up for about 8 or 10 days and then go to Durban and stay there until he called me, which should be about a month, I'm sure. Not knowing that Durban was the only place there wasn't segregation. All he does is segregation. You think about the South having trouble, you ought to see their trouble there. I told him, and the next day, Brother Baxter was his president, and Brother Bob was and all of us. One day, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Baxter, to me, but that's all right. But in the National Committee, you have to see them. So I told Brother Stuman, so they know. I said, now, the day that you know Brother Stuman, we're going to the city to be a Navy dressed in purple. What? I said, a Navy dressed in purple. Never seen one yet. He said, all right, you'll see it today. I said, if you're standing by a park, I've never been to Johannesburg in my life. And I said, if you're standing by a park, like this way, cut a corner and cut this way, the road goes this way, a lot of distance, setting them all like this. There's people above it, the flowers on the street stuff. He said, I know where the park is. And I said, but we'll pass by that today. Well, we will. And he wanted to say, you don't go down? Well, when I only got busy about it, he said, you want to go down? I said, yes. I went out for him at his office, and when we turned around for his office, I said, Brother Stuman, you see your name standing there? I said, what do you know about that? And so then, as we got back up there, what was that duplicity thing? Not David. Justice duplicity, which is one of the smartest men there is in South Africa, in my opinion, and a real Christian gentleman, is one of the sponsors of the meeting on the internet, on the National Committee. He came to Nineveh, and we went up to Pretoria. And on the road up, Brother Baxter was along, and they were driving about 60 miles an hour up the road like that, talking real quick. And he said, well, the Archdeacon salesman is along here somewhere. I said, Brother Baxter. And so we went on up and said, we're about to beach the girls and so forth. Went on up, and we just passed by. Now look, and that's just a little lady sitting on the side of the road, a little colored girl with her skin blazed on her head. I thought, that's the girl. I just see what they're going to do now. He went way out the road and said, have a look, and just about half square up the same hair from the salesman. We saw his wrist. Now that, I looked at Brother Baxter, he didn't think of it at that time. Turned back around, when we got out there, I said, Brother Baxter, don't you remember this? Said, yes, there it is. There was a little bit, the only one on the road, and that's 29 miles. You know, Brother, they sit on the road everywhere there, so you'll tell those the only one on the road, just like you told me. Never been in the country, you've been there about 24 hours. And so he said, now, and there's two brothers sitting there with that. And went back, and Brother Baxter taking his camera and took a picture of the baby. We go over up. Sure enough, there was the doctor with that in his hip, just exactly like we said. And then the following day, we was out on a place that was Brother Baxter, the officer that he told me he would look at. There it was, just the same way. Then he comes and says, we're going about to go down there. Well, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Brown, if it was in America, I have a jurisdiction, and I would say no. Said, but we're over here to murder these people. They don't understand, so now I'm with you. 100%. But said, now, to make these men understand it, tell them something different. I said, well, whether you understand it or not, I don't know what the Lord told me to do. I don't see what he said to you. So, next morning, here comes the car, got to go down to the class, off a little place about 4,000, 5,000, or something like that, something on that order. Reaching Johannesburg, it was about 350 or 400,000. So he said, it's a 100-mile difference. But as I always say, if you want to get bubbled up, just fool the preachers. And that's where you sure get picked up. Oh, but I'm going to get a bunch of men. They had come to Brother So-and-so that they had to go to his place, and Brother So-and-so, they had to come down there. Now that's all right. But brother, when it comes to leading out the Spirit of God, you follow God. And so they said, oh, we must go. That's all. So they loaded up a car. I was still standing in there. I wasn't going, you know. So they said, you got to go. You must go. So I went out, the Holy Spirit kept me in the seat. You better not get that. I said, Father, I have a little cross in your eye like this. But I'm down here wanting to go to Judah, and that's the mercy of these men. It kept getting worse. I said, stop the car. Stop the car. Up comes the different car, the man, and Billy Cole, my son, and Mr. Sackquist, you know, Mr. Bobworth, and a bunch of this, and him, and all that stuff. And I was with Mr. Schumann. There he is, Brother Baxter was in another car. So when I went to him, he said, he refuses to go. He said, you have to go talk to him. I said, I ain't going to go far right here. The Lord doesn't want me to go back, and I can't do it. And they said, well, Brother Brandon said, look, they kind of got a little huffy about it. And I said, don't you think God speaks to somebody besides you? One of the committees said, I said, Korah had that idea one day and told Moses that. But the earth opened up and swallowed him out. I said, I don't know what he told you. I can guess that I know what he told me. Well, you said he told us to make a hearer. I said, he told me not to take it. Well, now you see. He told you to make a dinner, go ahead. But he told me not to do it. Well, the RM got worse and worse. Finally, Brother Baxter come over. Brother Baxter, Brother Brandon, we're trying to stop here. He said, I wish that you would not say yes about what happened on that Sunday trip. Said that, now, Brother Baxter is a sensible, sound man. And he looked at it from his sensible standpoint as he could do. He said, look, if you should stand going hunting, those ministers are thinking that if you come down here to go hunting and half of them down here going to Britain and going hunting, and if thousands of people land here are sick, ready to die, and you talk about going hunting. I said, Brother Baxter, if I never fire every gun in my life, if I never walk into a field again in my life, I said, that's not fully promised. I said, I am only doing what God said to do. I said, that is, I'm just following out orders. And I said, you've been with me enough, Brother Baxter, to know that when I tell you what God is going to do in the name of the Lord and tell you it's Ephesians, he said, Brother Brandon, is that truly Ephesians from God? I said, yes, Brother Baxter. He said, then from this forth, I'll take my hands away from it. I said, I don't have more to do with it. Because it's Ephesians from God that we're coming up here. But said, now, if you make your move, I'll stand by you. But all right, Brother Baxter. Well, I stuck with him after a while, but finally, to get one of our people waiting, and when we let him go, I'm here for now, and I'm sure it's right, Scott, but something on that order. So, you know, beautiful day. They take me out to the minister's house of Brother Fareed, a very fine Christian brother. Soon to sit on the table by his wife. The Lord told me what was wrong with his wife and how to suffer and heal her out of it. You know what his father said. He's God is his son. He's getting me out of his will. God will let his gifts and callings go without repentance. And so then we stay there a little bit. And that night they got the meeting all ready to go. And when there comes time to take me to the meeting, there come a tropical storm and I could barely go over. And at 10 o'clock at night, they took me to get me near the place. Just, you haven't seen a storm, have you? You've seen one of the tropical storms. Lightning, it just flooded through the room almost, the tongue and flesh of the lightning glory, and there it was. All right, no service that night. Well, but sir, and I come back up there, I told you. The Lord said, don't come down here, I will be will. I've got to go back to Johannesburg. Well, we just can't do it. Now we promised these brothers, if we're going down here, we got to do it. Well, there you are. The same deal on you. I said, remember, no money in the other house in an awful condition. No money to send money on himself. Now I was just going to get up against it. So then I said, well, we waited that night. The next day, broke off brilliant night. And just about the time of the service, there come a blizzard. Like the cold in the body of the head. Come on back to the village. I said, didn't I tell you? I said, now, the one man who had an earthquake. I said, we're out of the will of God, brethren. They said, you mean you have an earthquake? I said, I don't know whether we will or not. I just said that. There'll be something happening. We're out of the will of God. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're still going heavy at it. I said, Father, just now look. God has told me to go back to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks, go up to Brother Jackson, and then from there to Durban, and from there I'll go home. Oh, I said, well, we got the table with the newspapers, with the medical association, with everything, and thousands of people were to eat and everything, and place to stay, and here they ran out of the prairie, go place up and eat and drown it, and everything else, and out of the world of the Lord. I said, did you feel better? Well, we promised to do this, though. But they were mad at our time to keep their promise to their brethren. But, Brenda, that's the reason my name is not going to be set by 4 hours to rest these dogs. They go where they're going 2 years from now. They don't die. They can set their mind must be led day by day, meeting by meeting. Wherever he says go, I got to go. They tell me right tonight not to be here tomorrow. I wouldn't be here tomorrow. And he told me tonight to stay here a year. I'd be right here a year if I had to stand on the outskirts and die. Wherever he says go, that's just where I go. That's where I stay till he says go. It's got to be that way. I can tell you where. I can tell you where I'll be the next day. I don't know. I make no promise. We're supposed to go out to Chicago next week, if the Lord will. If the Lord doesn't permit it, if he speaks to me tonight, say, stay and die, I say, die. If he met with me tonight, say, one day I went down there and sat there in the sewer just for that time. And I've had a good meeting. And that very night, the Holy Spirit came and said, leave St. Louis and go back to Zion. And I left St. Louis the next day and began the following day to sign the name. You remember? You see what the Lord said? Follow. So then, wandering to the night, they went arguing. I said, nope, going back tomorrow, right back to Johannesburg. Well, what will we do when we got to Johannesburg? I didn't ask Brenda to come home with it, and I'm coming home with me alone. That's what we say there in that meeting. So we go to back it up. What are we going to do? Oh, I was in an awful fit. And it just seemed like, I said, all right, it's all said long ago. You should have listened and not listened for you to solve this trouble. So I said, now God has a permissive will. But I never like the word God's permissive will, I want his perfect will. Always. And if I don't want to work secondarily, I want to know what he wants me to do, and I'll go do it. And so we went. Then when he heard God's permissive will, oh my, that settled the thing altogether. Well, I went to the room. Yeah, we all went to a different room. I went to my room to pray. Billy, my boy back there, was sleeping with me. We had a couple of beds off one side. Brother Jackson, I guess you did better, so we didn't know where the beds are. Just make out to the road. And Billy and I went in, we went to pray. Every time we went in, Billy, my boy, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Daddy, don't you listen to that bunch of preachers. You listen to what God's telling you, and not that bunch of preachers. If I ever got wisdom from my son, the man, or the prophet. Now I said, honey, I'm all tore up. He said, look, Daddy. I said, we'll get home some way. I said, honey, the thing of this is going home is the alley. I've got to go back to Johannesburg and take this meeting that way. He said, Daddy, I'll stay by here, and I hope Brother Banks sure will. So he said, you just remember we're with you. And so I said, you pray with him, Billy. Of course, he got sleep. He just been a kid. He called in the bed about 1 or 2 o'clock. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came into the room. I felt him.
And the little old guy said, I said, who are these men? And the mother said, he said, go on. I said, go on. I said, they got behind us. I said, go on, but remember, you'll pay for it. He said, you'll know. And he said, now, if you might know, if you have my permission to go, tomorrow morning, you go wake up your boy. Don't remember it. He said, you go wake up your boy and tell him that tomorrow morning at Sunday school, when they have the Sunday school meeting in the morning, it's going to be a pretty day. And it's raining and clouds and bad things. He said, but it's going to be pretty. Sun will be shining, will be warm. He said, you just go to stand and better ask you to stand for you to come later and sit you in the meeting so delayed. It'll be there 3 days, you think. He said, if you need to show the way, if you're going to send your boy back to get you to come play for the kids, so be ready and go. And said, then when you do, that your son is going to come at this with a young man in a little black car. And on the road back, on the road to get you, he's going to pick up another young man, that's contrary to the rule, but he's going to pick up another young man. And on the road going back, that he's going to call your attention, there'll be a page in a white sapphire suit, standing near an eucalyptus tree by a bridge with a six or seven other knees. And said, by that, you know that I give you permission to go. But remember, you'll suffer for it. So, when I come out of the vision, I went over and I woke Billy up and I said, Billy, the angel of the Lord has just visited me and told him what he said. I walked into the room, I said, Pastor, Billy, now listen. I walk into the room, and here's what's true, friend. Listen, don't miss this. I hope they never deal with you like that. And that man, a God of this end is a different person. Now, I guess I've been honest, misunderstood. Your life might not be like that, but just one thing I do know, you do what God tells you to do. Don't be like anybody else says, you do what God says. And be sure that you know it's God. Not some imagination or some feeling, you be sure it's God and follow God's right. He'll take you where he wants you to go. So, we walk into the room, Brother Baxter, Brother Bible Work, Mr. Sackface, which is, I'll be his president tonight. Those men sent us, at least two of those men ran to town. They were all sitting in a room over this house, four of them in a room, or the three of them. And I walked in the room and I said, Brother, I have just saved the Lord. I said, we are taking home when we're going down to Everly, Blackstock, and Bloomington, Bake Town. We're doing wrong. The will of the Lord is for us to go back here and come down, go back to Johnsonburg and go from there over to Brother Jackson and from there over to this church. And I said, but he gave me his permissive will this morning. And gave me these signs, and I told him what he told me. And I said, if daylight outside now, it's a 3 days. And I said, these things shall come to pass. But remember, it's not the will of the Lord. How do you know it's great God for a blessing of your hand? Do you believe me to be a good man?
Yes.
And he's as close to me as my daddy. But yet, in that, Brother Father, who stood in my sight, who stood in the pulpit, who preaches this gift, who built platform, who constantly speaks of it, said, I'm 75 years old. I never seen it, never read it in my life since the days of the apostles. Believes in me with all of his heart. He raised up and he said, Brother Branham, you're wrong. It's the will of God for you to go back. I said, Brother Father, it is not. He said, well, Brother Branham, he said, I'll lay my mind for a faith and give Adam a false vision. I said, Brother Barber, you're a daddy to me, but I said, look, this is not a false vision. This is from God. My honor and my ministry, my reputation, not only mine, but the name of the Lord rests upon it. I said, it's wrong. He said, no. He said, if you go that way, you'll see the exceedingly abundantly of the law which you just asked the thing.
No matter how close an individual is to you, you can't trust the eye of the flesh.
And this prophet kept going, the Lord said to come back here, and he might have the prophet and the spirit of God. You know what happened? He lost his life. Both of them prophets. No matter who they are, you do what God tells you to do.
Boy, I left, while preaching the tree for one day, the Holy Spirit fell upon me and said, thus saith the Lord, there is a snare set for you in South Africa.
Well, this guy got the 314. Let's see your hand. Does anybody have a 314 before I let you? Let me hear that prophecy.
All right, I guess there's not nothing in this little group anyhow.
But Lord, I'm getting over among my brethren.
Now, a pain was.
We went on.
And as soon as we got the shivering, there was the next stop. There was an elderly man there, an old man, good man.
But the thousands of people, and that old brother said, no, sir, you're not going to have any work in my church. You should know about 400 people and about 10, 12, 14,000 people in it.
But yet that's in that church.
Brother Barber grew up in something actively, that's a change.
As a vast and exceedingly abundant gift, but all
I said, you understand? He said, oh, I have a heart of God. And so, brother, I said the same way. Hold them around and ready to be.
Well, all right, that shows you see, wound down on a trip like that, trouble setting everywhere.
And never had to meet him until we got up there to anyone knows that you're over that funeral, the meeting was a servant. Well, we had nearly 100,000, got about 30,000 converts in a day. And that's the only place was that down on the road, we all got sick. Every one of us got sick.
When I come home, I almost died. I had amoeba.
The parasite, a little animal, gets into the intestinal tract, in the stomach, like a little barnacle, sticks around and stops to listen.
Well, it takes its course in about so many hours, and it gets into the bloodstream, it comes on the liver, and burns, you live. It goes to the brain, it burns the heart, you die. There's nothing you can do about it. And I walked the floor and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried till my eyes were swelling and my wife had to leave me to breakfast. No answer from God at all. One morning I ran under my hand behind my head and said, God, what shall I do? Falling all the way, getting thinner and thinner, worse and worse all the time, nothing. Getting worse, worse, nothing gets done. Worse all the time. One morning I ran out of all the car and lost my feet to hold. I guess I'll this is the end of the road. I'm perishing. I'm sorry I was chicken. I said, God, I'll never know the word nor any step across your line. Never again. If there's kindness in your heart, Lord, for me, please forgive me. I get my mind and walk up and down the floor at any time. My wife said, honey, what's the matter? I said, oh, sweetheart, if you only knew how I felt. I said, I want to get caught real. I said, here I am, broken here. My ministry, I hold up back and I said, the Lord has spoken to me. With the back of my family, comes the back one. I said, if I take that funeral, thus saith the Lord, I'll not even be able to have a meeting between 6 months and a year.
To you. But if there's anything I'm going to do, And I just got there in the morning, turned around in my favorite Baptist God again. I said, I stepped across the line. One morning, man, as I said, about 3 o'clock, I threw up in my head, I thought, what am I doing to hope? And about that time, I thought, I'm going to be moving into the room. Get your memory set now, where it doesn't come from a habit. He comes into the room, I knew it was him. I was in the field, comes moving out of here, comes on. It's like a last of fire, like that. Move down in the room, come where I was. Just down, I see one come walking to me. He had a paper, something like typewriter paper. It's folded like this, and his hand walked up and he said, as you were meditating upon your bed, what would be your future? I said, yes, Lord. I just wondered what my future held. He got the paper like this and preached it. He said, look at that. There's a scribble over to the green, but green spectacular. One of my testaments went around outside up into the heaven. He said, it is clear. I came to myself. I sat on the side of the bed and I said, oh, God. Oh, please, please. Oh, if I find in favor with you, Lord, please, what about these believers? What's going to happen, Lord? I said, please, just in your great heart, if my sins are forgiven when you speak to me, what about it, Lord? I said, I'm laying here, just about to die. I said, I've trusted you, I believe in you. I've called it in, but I said, hold your hand, really. By that time, I felt something coming again. Come back into the room, move down the room, but as I was thinking about that, it shall be no more. That's settled it. I can do. I don't care what anybody says there. That is all. Not just Father. I never did have it. It's usually one time, this time over five. He said, last night I was dreaming until about 6 in the morning. And he said, you come back again? He said to me, he said, you've been wondering if people didn't tell you about, criticize you about your dream. And I said, yes, Lord. They tell me that oral offers each other man prayed for 500 miles, ministering to 3. And I said, you told me to do this. What shall I do, Lord? Shall I pray for the people in life? He said, just as you're led. And they left me in. And I walked up and I tore up him on the side of the old God. I'm so thankful to you. I so appreciate you. Here he comes in. Shall he come in the room again? And he said to me in the spirit, geographically, I was facing the south, just like I was, enduring. And it was going to fade into the west, going away, turning blue, that group of people. And right in front of me, the section, just like this, the section on, but looked like a street. And there were great crowds of people. And then he came, and he turned my head like this, back over to the east, towards the east, towards India. And there were tens of thousands with glass on, dark looking men, they had their hands up in the air, they were praising God, they were jumping up and down, screaming and praising God, thousands of them were receiving God, they were jumping up and down, screaming and praising God, thousands of them were receiving Christ. I said, wonderful! And all the time I heard something coming, right above me, and here come down a great light out of heaven. And it's like an operating light, and it went way back over the field for about half a mile or more. And there was nothing but a solid mass of people just standing packed in. I said, oh Lord, are all those black men? And then turning back to this group in front of him, there were beautiful white people all standing with their hands up in the air like this, praising God. Then turning back again like that. And then the angel come real near, and I can tell you I'm sitting here. Now I heard the number that he called. Remember this? He said that 300,000 of those in that brand new. And I said to myself, I heard his number. Remember, I'm going to hold a meeting somewhere east of Durban. I believe in India that will consist of 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass, as you might know. Just as I have said about the little boy being raised in Finland, many of you heard that testimony. Before you met in the United States a year before, California, you raised dead and so forth. I remember this. Then, I raised up my hands to bless God. And when I did, look, I'm here for my Bible. It was turned over to about
trees begin to turn back, this song. And it went back to Joshua, the first chapter, and something began to read the chapter like this. My servant Moses is dead. Now rise and go over to Jordan. Then these people, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I propose to throw out of you, only be of a good courage and breath, and very, be strong and very courageous. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever thou wast. And I raised up, and I reached from the Bible to be there, and I reached him. I said, where did he go? And by that time, I heard my wife knock at the door. She comes into the room. She said, Bill, have you turned the dinner off? She said, at 3 o'clock this morning, the baby was sleeping, and I was coming to wake you up. And said, when I come out the door, and my wife is a very spiritual woman, but this is the first time it ever happened in our home. She's very quiet, high-class person. And she said, I'm starting to go in the room, and someone said to me, don't go in there. There's a vision going on. And she said, for 3 hours, I sat in the chair and rocked the baby, waiting. I said, yeah, honey. I grabbed my Bible, a big Bible there, and wrote out the vision right quick on the fly leaves and Edward, and then some of the house and read it. We went out to breakfast. My mother-in-law, a very saintly, godly woman, lived just below me, just to come right up the house. She said, has anything happened down there this morning? She said, this morning, my God, I went to the sink to wash my dishes from my life to get ready for breakfast, and son said, go up to the other house. Something just happened. I told the vision. I turned around, I had two sectors over, I went out to get my checks up to that news for a meeting right there about the income thing. And I went out to the bank, went on back, they had them ready for me. I was going by the old Ellis and old Alabama. I said, oh, hello, oh, hello, went on back, picked up my steps and started out, and I started walking out like this, and something said, stop. And I told that, just, you know, I didn't impress me, huh? Stop. I waited and I looked at the people, nobody was looking at me, and I said, Lord God, you know, I can get an impression of that. Stop. I waited and I looked at the people, nobody was looking at me, and I said, Lord God, what would you have me do? And I backed up in the corner like this, kind of waiting in there with those stuff, my little briefcase on my arm. Oh, what would you have me do? He said, look at Bob Dennis. I thought about to just Bob Dennis. I looked over and just kind of head down like this. I know Bob real well. He's color there. I said, well, that's just. But it was. It was going on. I stopped there. I walked over and I said, good morning, Bobby. He said, hello, Brother Brown. The same morning, before I mean, so they heard they had greater skills cancer. I said, yeah. I said, how you feeling, Bobby? Here you go, where did you sit? Brother Ben, I got something to tell you. I don't know how you want to take it. I said, well, go ahead, Bobby. Tell me. He said, most all my people died of cancer. He said, I've got every symptom. What they had. So I've been worried to death the last few days. He said, really, I don't want you to cause you any trouble. But said, this morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up in the room and I dreamed a dream that I should tell you about. I said, this morning at 3 o'clock, he had me up. Come over here. That was the last of cancer. I never had any more symptoms of it all. I made just one when I was down home my 3 days ago. I said, how you feeling, Bobby? He said, Brother Branham, I'm going to have a different person. God fills and reigns. He's Jehovah. Lighten up to him. You believe that? Let's preach the scripture. I love you. To testify all night, but let's read quickly out of the fourth chapter of St. John. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water of wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus was coming out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him. And he saw him that he would go down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here, my child out, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth.
And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.
And as he was now going down, his servant met him, and told him, saying, thy son liveth.
Then inquired he,
now is it again to a man that he get better? And he said, yes, sir, he, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.
So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said, a son living, and himself believed with his whole household. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee.
Jesus spoke the word. The father wanted to tell him what his man's going to pray for. Jesus said, go on. Your son's going to live.
And the father believed what Jesus said.
Now, what he had not believed,
it would not have
happened. He believed. And let us believe tonight what Jesus said. Will you?
Listen. Here's the word he said, Mark 11, 24.
Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them.
It shall be given.
You believe that? Watch the order of Scripture. Believe now to receive it. Now when you believe you got it,
you have no evidence, it doesn't really show it, you got it.
But you believe you got it, and if you believe in it, it'll be given to you.
You believe that?
Let's ask him for a glorious meeting. Let's together as all you believers with me.
See, no matter who you are, you step across God's line, he'll punish you.
David doesn't really have his heart, but David reaped what he sowed.
The Psalm is.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we know this one thing, that the Holy Spirit is in here tonight, confirming the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing to pass those things which he said would be.
Dear God, I cannot be responsible for the faith of the people. I'm responsible for preaching your word and for testifying and telling those things which I know to be true.
Thou knowest, you know about the African affair.
And Father, I plead you tonight that you sure can stand in the book and hear tonight on this platform. That there may be soon a time when you will be with me and will help me get in Africa. Lord, I need you. Be near me now. Stand by me tonight and bless me. And keep thy loving wings of mercy over us, making an atonement for our sins and trespasses, forgiving us of all things, and helping us to live for you and forgive every sinner in the building tonight. Take all skepticism away and may the power of God have preeminence tonight and be predominant over all unbelief and drive back the enemy and pour out your spirit and heal the sick and save the lost. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Remember, I mean, not on the street. I say, are you a Christian yet?
No.
No, he prayed for another man.
All right.
Went on like that. One man, following the service, after all that wants to become Christian, wants you to remember the word of prayer, stand up.
There he stood up.
I said, come here, man. He walked up. I said, what's the matter with you?
I don't know.
I said, you want to be a Christian?
Yes, sir.
I said, why don't you become a Christian? He said, I don't know. I said, it's just something you got in your heart and you want to be a Christian, but there's something you won't let me be a Christian. Is that right? He said, that's it. I said, that's the devil. And that's unbelief. I said, do you believe that? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you believe the Bible has come to break that power of unbelief above you? That you'd be a Christian? He said, yes, sir. And at just that time when he got on his head, he left his screen, he jumped up in the air like that. It was gone. And a man's a strong Christian today. What? It's the devil that unleashed that old shivering thing down, little chatter that he was breaking into him, the same thing as by eating. You say, well, I've been sick a long time now, I've been sick a long time, I couldn't be free from this thing. He said, oh, yes, you can. Jesus Christ did what whatever things you desire. When you pray, believe you, Jesus, you shall have it. I am in Jesus, don't you? Oh, man. Devil here, let's get the prayer card now.
Where did he call last night?
50. Let's get the last part of the night. Let's get from 85 to 100 in Devil. That's going to come up the line, bring your Bible up. All right. Who's got prayer card 80? Devil here, 85. Raise your hand. Devil here, 85. 86. 87. 88. 89. 90. All up to 100. Prayer card W, 85 up to 100, line up here to my right, while now check you, ushers and so forth, and see if everybody gets there. And if they don't, then just let me know when I'll call the line again. All right, now if any of the people here in the wheelchair have got cards, they don't have to come to the prayer line up here. Just raise up your hand and let someone hold it up. It's got those numbers, and when that number is called, when you see your face lined up there, just move out here in front of me, and I can't heal you, friend. But God, if He will, in His mercy, might let you know the reason why you can't miss me. All right. Now, if you have only faith, then you hear your own chance in your faith. Don't you see what a gift of healing is? A gift of healing is something that can somebody to heal somebody else. The man is being prayed for has to have a faith. He has to have a faith. Is that right? Yes. All right. Now, what do you think, Dad? Do you think you're going to be able to throw those crutches away and walk overnight normally? I hope you are. What about you, Mother, down in the chair? You believe you're just going to be able to get up tonight and walk away from that and go on home, be well? What about that sister with the braces on your limb and down along the line there? Do you believe with all your heart? I say, what you do? If you just look this away and pray. Not look to me and, oh, I don't mean that. I mean it in this way. Like Peter said, look on us. They were men. Look on us. And a crippled man looked around and said, if you receive a coin, he said, silver and gold hath on none. But such as I have. Now such as God will give me, I will give you. Now I'm the other night at I don't call any certain diseases, but just got very bad diseases that haven't got any prayer card, and you want God to heal you tonight, raise your hand. You've got all kinds of diseases. Just raise your hand and say, I'm like most of the sick people stand right in these three rows right here. Right here. All right. All right, you start praying. And the rest of you people that's well and unhealthy, you pray for them. I believe that you were sick and held up your hands, they pray for you. So you all pray one for the other, confessing your fault, one to another. Is that right? You pray one for another, that's it, may you heal. Because all the cards in day, all right, he's got you out, yes, it hasn't come out. 85
there will be 85
to one of the fathers. May sickness be healed. May the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the crippled walk.
We don't have to have anything to believe you, Lord. We believe from the end now.
But it is your great will that you'll grant these privileges and blessings to us. Hear the prayer of the servant as I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What it's done is it's shut the atmosphere. Was that so what I said? Now, if it is, just turn to the audience over here. Is that true? Now, the man, I don't know. But so he's here on the microphone. So he can be the Lord.
That's true.
Now the vision is gone, you see. Now, you heard my voice, did you? But that was me. That was the one. You sure now present. The one you see in the picture of, the one we spoke of last night, the one that knows all things, is sent from God. He's the one. Now I'm here. Now when he met me out there, he told me, I told him, I didn't have no education. Yes, it's something about the mouth or colon, is that right in the colon? Is that it's got tumors in there, is that right? It's got tumors in the colon. And you're up for an operation. And you've been putting that off. Over that operation past you, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And you've been putting off waiting till I'm ready for you. Is that right?
I'm here.
Almighty God, you're here. Beyond the shadow of doubt, God, you hear this platform this morning. You know all the conditions this morning. I lay hands upon her, Lord. The position is trying to operate, but yet she wants your blessing for any of this. If God, I pray that you'll heal the woman, may the tumor leave her. She be well. In the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. God bless you, my God. Hope and joy to be happy for you and all your heart. Amen. Oh, God.
Thank you.
You're a man. Isn't that right?
Or go home and get well. You believe with all your heart?
do, stand up on your feet just a minute.
Oh, you got a blessing for us.
All right? Raise up your hands, that's all right, and go home now and get well. Believe it makes a hurt if a bladder trouble too. Is that right, Eddie? Stand right next to her. That's right, stand up on your feet, you know well. What do you think about it, sir? You believe it's true? You, with a blue shirt and red tie, you believe you can be God's prophet? All right. Think of it, there's a lot of people moving in on that. Oh, you have to dress those trouble, isn't that right? Raise those other hands. All right, go home and get well. What about the next woman? You want to be healed? There's something wrong with you. Stand on your feet if you believe you can be God's prophet. Do you believe you can be a prophet? You struggle with sight, though. Is that right? Raise up your hands. Then go home and get well. What's the matter? Well, in the name of Jesus Christ, what's the matter with you?